And to bring the message this morning, it's Pastor Jonathan.
Thank you.
Well done, ladies.
Thank you so much. I'll be all right. I think I'm okay. Thank you so much, though. Well, good morning.
Morning.
I'm so blessed to be here again. You know, on the way here, my wife was like, "You need a tissue?" And I said, "You know, I don't think I do. You know, I'll be okay. I've been here. This is my third time. I don't think so." And then I wept the most today. And it's because I really, I'm so blessed, and we are so blessed to have the words of God and to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I mean, what would your life and my life be without Jesus? If we could think about that just for a moment, like, what would your life and my life be without the words of God? Without the word of God in our hands, so easily accessible. What would your life and my life be? It would be in complete darkness. I know that that's what it would be for me. I would be lost. I would be in darkness. And then I think about all the people in the world, in the globe, who don't have that easy access to the Word of God, and then my heart goes out to them. So my tears are, as Brother James, he's not here today, but he's once described his tears as tears of joy. It's not sadness, it's just joy. It's joy is an interesting emotion, right? It's like you're happy, but then there's also a little bit of reality to it, right? And you're dealing with that reality with the spirit of joy. And so I'm not trying to depress people is what I'm saying. Amen? All right? Because this is a great place. This is a fun place. I love being here. I hope you love being here as well. And I love to worship God. I hope you love to worship God. And I hope you love His Word. Amen? Amen. All right. If you'll please turn with me to the Word of God. We're going to start a series on the book of John, the Gospel of John. So if you could turn in the Word of God to John chapter 1. The Gospel of John, chapter 1. John, chapter 1. We'll be reading from verses 1 through 14 today, and then we're just going to go through the series. We're just going to go through the scriptures. I think that's very important for us because lots of times there's no wrong way to read the Bible. Amen? If you read it, it's a good thing. I remember when I first started studying the Bible or wanted to have a relationship with God and talk to God, I'd be like, "God, talk to me." And then I'd like, you know, kind of flip through the pages and boom. And then I'd point and be like, "Oh," you know, looking for answers. It was kind of like, to be honest, like a crystal ball. And then it started not making sense because I'd be like, "God, talk to me." And then I'd turn to the book of Numbers and it'd be like 144,000 cubits. I'd be like, "What? What are you saying, God? I don't understand." Well, as we mature, we understand that every single word of God is valuable. It is all God-breathed. Amen? So it's good to study the text just through, you know, through exposition, going through every verse. Even the book of Numbers is the word of God. It is God-breathed. It is important for us. And in that same, with that same attitude, we're going to go through the whole book of John. Is that okay? Yeah. Amen? All right. So let's read verses 1 through 14 here. And what I'd also like to do today is some responsive reading. So I'm not sure if we've done this here before, but if you could please stand with me, all right? You guys, you're like, "Oh man, this guy making me work." If you stand with me, I'm going to read the first verse, and then if you could read the next one, and we're just going to alternate through verse 14. Amen? So I'll go ahead and start with John chapter 1, verse 1. John chapter 1, verse 1. This is the slide. But if you have your Bibles, I'll give you some time to, you know, get your phones or get your scripture out, and we could turn to the book of John. John chapter 1. Yeah, it's up there too. John chapter 1, verse 1 through 14. And as we read and declare His word in His house, let's also listen carefully, for this is His word. Amen? "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
He was in the beginning with God.
all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but God. Altogether, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is his word. Please be seated. Let's pray together as we just study this passage together. Let us pray. Oh, most gracious God, Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time to be in your presence, to be able to be in your sanctuary and worship you, God. It is truly a breath of fresh air. Truly, you are the breath in our lungs, and you are truly worthy of praise. God, living life throughout the week, it can be dark, it can be dismal, it can be dampening, but when we enter into your house, truly, whom the Son has set free is free indeed, and we are so free in your house, O God. Thank you so much for this grace. Thank you so much for your love. Thank you so much for this gospel. And Lord, I truly pray that more than anything, more than wanting to do well or to do something of my own, God, I pray that I would be faithful to your Spirit and to your word. I pray that we would be faithful to you. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So how many of you have heard this verse before? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And when I was younger, when I went to Bible school, they said, just put Jesus in there, right? Put Jesus in there, and that's what that passage means. In the beginning was Jesus, Jesus was God, Jesus is God. And that's true. It is true. That's like getting to that final conclusion quickly. But as I got older, I didn't understand how, right? It's like, okay, what does it really mean? And that's what's really important for us. Rather than to have rote memory of Scripture, we want to understand what it means. Amen? And the insight really comes, that's why it's good to study the original languages, but this word is called logos in the Greek. Logos, okay, in Arkeha, logos. So if you think of the word like biology, right, bio means life, and then the word logos or logos, that's where we get the logia from, study of, or idea of, or the concept, or the reason of. So if you have bio, life, and then logia, it's the study or the concepts of life. Amen? Amen. All right. Like psychology. Sure, brother. Thank you. Psychology. So psyche is a Greek word for soul. And logia, thank you so much, brother. So much kindness. This is why I love this place. So much kindness. It's a good thing. I know Paul asked me before, and I thought I'd be okay. I always think I'm going to be okay, and I'm not. You know, isn't that our life story? Exactly. So psyche, Greek word for soul, and then you have logia, right? Right. So every time you have like these words that say logia, it refers to logos. It refers to the reasoning, right? The idea, the concept. So let's look at the context of this passage really quickly also, because that's what's important when we study the Bible, right? The book of John was written by who? John, right? The apostle. So he's known as John the Beloved. So sometimes people get confused. They're like, oh, did John the Baptist write this book? No, this was John the Apostle. He was a young teenager, about 17 possibly, and he was the one who wrote 1 John, 2 John. He wrote the book of Revelation, and this is his gospel. Amen. The passage was written around 85 AD after Christ passed away or passed into heaven. So that's another thing about the Gospels. This is not like mythology books, right? These are eyewitness accounts of people who walked with Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Right? So when people are like, oh, he's a legend. Yeah, he's a legend and a legacy, but that's not the source. That's not the basis of who he is. He's a legend because he became a legend through historical facts, if you will. Amen? So we're reading John's gospel, John's account of who Jesus is. And the structure of the book, okay, is through seven miracles and through seven statements. Seven miracles, like water into wine and raising people from the dead and healing, you know, those seven miracles. And then there are seven statements that he says. So we know quite a few of them, like I am the bread of life, or I am the light of the world, or I am the good shepherd. And so there's these seven statements that John kind of creates his argument of why Jesus is God. Okay, this is very important for us to understand. Jesus is God. Amen. And so for us to understand that Jesus is God, John 1:1, this text gives us the reason, the logos, right, as to why Jesus is God. Amen? Also, this text is written in Greek. So why is it written in Greek is because, because you're like, hey, wasn't John Jewish? Wasn't Jesus Jewish? So why didn't he write it in Hebrew? It's because this text was meant to expand, to expound. It was meant for Greeks to also read. During this time, the Jews and the Greeks lived together under the Roman Empire. And so this text is for all people to read, especially those who were Greek. And if you were in part of Greek society, philosophy was a major thing in their society, right? They had the philosophers, and one major philosophical question, the major philosophical question is what? What is the meaning of life? What is the reason for life? And so John is telling us here, if we use that word reason, in the beginning was the reason. In the beginning was the reason, and the reason was with God. And the reason was God. Amen? So that helps us kind of understand more of who Jesus is, that Jesus is God, that he is the logos of God. He is, and that's another thing, it's hard to describe God with human words. Amen? Like, I'm trying to tell you these facts, and I also start getting like, oh, I know this is the truth in my spirit, I understand it, but to use human words to explain divinity is always limited. But we're doing our best through God's inspired scriptures. Amen? Right? Words are important. And words are what? They're vehicles. They're vehicles. Words convey emotion. They convey information. Right? They move things. And so that's why it's important for us to understand this concept of God through words. But even through that, you know, transition or that transference, there are certain things that get lost. And that's why we have faith. That's what faith does. It's the insurance of the vehicle, if you will, where you start driving and your trunk is open and something fell out. Don't worry, faith will make sure that one day you will grasp what that means. And we will all understand and we will all know Jesus when we see him. Amen? When we see him in heaven. Amen? So that's verse 1. And then the reason why I say amen is quite a bit is so that we are all in agreement. I just want to make sure that I'm not just talking up here. Because I could do that at home by myself with, like, my wife, you know. I want to make sure that the information of heaven, the information of the Holy Spirit, the information of God is being received. Because that's the most important thing. You're the most important thing. Amen? Amen. So that's what the first verse is talking about. Jesus as Logos, the Logos of God. In the beginning, I'm going to read those three verses. In the beginning was the Word, was the Logos, was the reason, and the reason was with God, and the Logos was God. And if you look at verse 2, it says, He was with God, right? He. So Logos is not just an idea or concept, but this is where it says He is Christ. This is who Christ is. The mind of Christ is God. So He was with God in the beginning. Jesus was with God in the beginning. And it was through Jesus, verse 3 tells us, through Him all things were made. Amen. All things were made through Jesus, and without Jesus, nothing was made that has been made. Amen. That's facts, church. Right? That's why He is the mediator of all things, as it says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. It tells us that all things were made through Him, that He is the mediator of all things, that He literally holds everything together. The nucleus, the atom, all of that is held. All that quantum physics stuff that much smarter people than I understand, but I know that Jesus holds all that together. Amen? Hallelujah. And so that's the first part of what John wants us to understand, that Jesus is God, that Jesus is the Word of God, that Jesus made everything, and that everything was made through Him. And this first passage, these first three verses, it sounds like what? It's parallel to Genesis, right? In the beginning was God, right? Let's turn to Genesis chapter 1. I want us to kind of be in practice of flipping through the scriptures and reading it and so on and so forth. But what does it say? It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And verse 3, and God said, God spoke, the word of God exacted, executed, and He said, let there be light. And there was light. He said, let there be light, and there was light. So that's another thing that, you know, there's something to think about. That is something to think about. Light, where does that source from, right? Because light is a created thing. Jesus is not a created being. So where does light begin and end, right? Like, these are some pretty cool questions to think about. But the beginning of light is what, according to today's scripture? God's Word. God's Word. He is the source. Jesus is the source of light. Jesus is the light. Amen? So that's why in Genesis, God says, let there be light. And when He spoke that, what was the condition of the world? It was dark. That's right. It was dark. It was without void. It was not formed. And then God said, let there be light. If you think about, and later in the series we'll get into this, but isn't this what Jesus says about Himself? He says, I am the light of the world. So let's think about our own lives. Can you remember a time in your life, in my life? I remember it clearly. But do you remember a time where it was dark? Do you remember dark times in your life? Do you remember a time in your life where it was not formed? Can you at least imagine a time where it was like a place? Let's think of a place that's completely dark, where there's no light. I've been to a country where there is absolutely no light at night. And you're like, oh, of course there's no light at night. But no, seriously, like no moon, like no light. There's no lamps. There's no electricity in this country. And there's no sound. You know, I was supposed to leave and go out and listen to this because they had these rules. But I just wanted to see what it was really like in this country. And I went outside. There was no light and no sound. And then I asked, why is there no sound? And it was because the people of that country were so hungry, they had eaten all the bugs, all the animals. There was nothing really living in that country. And that's why the people were not even living in the country. That country has no gospel. We pray for that country, that that country would know the Lord and His scripture. And there's still countries like that in the world. But imagine like a place where there's no light. no sound. What would life be like that? Like a prison. A prison that just, you're an adseg. And there's no light. And you got to stay in that zone for months, maybe a year. What would that feel like? People change. They become, what is that?
Feel sad.
Feel bad, right. Feel sad. Feel horrible. So have you ever felt like that? I know I felt like that. And amidst that, can you imagine? Just can you imagine light appearing in that darkness? You didn't work for it. You didn't make it happen. Light appears. And then it just doesn't appear. It begins to grow and grow and grow. Isn't that moment a beautiful moment? A moment of salvation? I know in my life, the way that I used to walk in darkness, I used to have a dark life. I used to have bondage. I needed deliverance. I had a spiritual Egypt. It was dark. And no matter how much I tried to get better or do self-help or follow other people, it didn't save me. I could not save myself. But when I said, Jesus, save me, and I cried out to God, God said, in Jonathan's life, let there be light. And it happened. Jesus showed up. If you can relate to that, someone say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why he's so praiseworthy. And does that moment just stop one day? You know, you just do it once and then is that going to carry us through? No, because the shadows return. Right? The darkness doesn't stop. You know, this is the world. This is where the devil has his time to be able to continue to not only, I mean, it's a three-point progression with the devil too. What I mean by that is like in John 10, it tells us that God loves us so much that he wants to save us and be with us forever. But what is the Antichrist? What does the devil want to do? He wants to maim you every day and then let that maiming kill you. And it's not enough that you're killed. He wants to destroy you. Think about this. The amount of love that God has for you, that's how much hate Satan has for you. That's how much the devil every day desires to break you down. And that's how much every single day the darkness comes after you. But thanks be to God, we are not the children of the world. We are the children of light. Amen. You look in the mirror and you might not think so because you're like, man, and you're looking, remember, at ourselves. We can't look at ourselves. We have to continue to fix our eyes on Jesus. And we have to continue to fix our eyes on the gospel. God loves me. He has a plan for my life. It is good for me, and it glorifies his name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This is the fight every single day. It doesn't matter if you backslide. I mean, it does matter in the sense that you backslid, okay? No one's minimizing our issues, because they are issues. But don't let it overtake you. Don't let that darkness overtake you. Because we are disciples of the Lord of light. Amen? He will do it. Amen? He's going to do it. God's word does not say something and it doesn't return to him void. He never makes a mistake. He never regrets anything. He is completely sovereign, sure he will do it. Do you believe this?
Yes.
Praise God. Yes. Amen. And so that's what John is telling us in these first three verses, that God is the source, that God is the reason, that God is over all. And in him, verse 4, as we continue, was life. Zoe. Verses 4 and 5. In him was life, and that life, what we were talking about, right? Where's the source of light? That life was the light of all mankind. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. One of my favorite verses in Scripture. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the darkness has not overcome it. It will never overcome it. Amen? I mean, I love those type of movies, and that's why, you know, most movies are like this. It's like there's this like person that you think is hopeless, and he's weak. And he's trying really good, you know, he's trying really hard to be good, But then he falls. And people are like, no, but you're the chosen one. You're the one that God wants, or you're the one that the coach wants, or you're the one that the team wants. And you know, he just can't see how he could be the one that, you know, it's like Captain America, right? Do you remember Captain America? He's like this Marvel guy, you know, super skinny guy in the army, and right? And then all he has is heart. He doesn't see how he could be the Captain of America, the superhero, but then they pump him up with all this science, and you know, but you know, he has the heart to steward that science, and then he gets like super muscles, you know, beyond what creatine can do, and like he's super buff, and then he starts saving the world, and then there are moments like Captain America or Superman, right? Where like, who's the guy he fights, and then he like dies. Like, there's so many moments where Superman or Captain America, it seems like they're gonna die, right? You're like, oh man, this is it. Like, this is just too much kryptonite for this guy, right? Like, he's not gonna get out. And like, in the scene, just you see his hand and that's it. And everyone's like, oh no, what do we do, right? Like, what are we gonna do? But what happens? What was that? They make a sequel. That's right. And why do we have a sequel? Because he still lives, right? He comes back. Right? He's able to rise above it. He comes out of the ashes. Right? That's the light. That's what it means to be light. Darkness cannot overcome light. That's what light is. Have you ever turned on the light bulb and then all of a sudden darkness doesn't go away? Have you ever seen darkness go into a light bulb and put it out? Never. You turn on the lights and the lights stay on. Like Motel 6. I'm just kidding. But that's what it means to be light. Amen? Remember this, Church of God. The light shines dark in the bright, shines bright in the darkness. And the darker it gets, the brighter light gets. And that's who we are, Church of God. We sang that worship song today. We are the church. We are the hope of the world. We are. What would the world be like without his people? What would the world be like without his salt and his light in the world? It would be hell. It'd be hell on earth. Everything would be crazy, chaotic. You and I are the ones who have the word of God, who understand that God made male and female, right? God made these two distinct genders. Therefore, we are the ones who will be able to uphold those truths. We are the ones that understand we should honor our mother and father and not exasperate our children. Amen? So when we see people who are like disrespecting their parents or calling their parents by their first name, I mean, I hope there's nobody in here who does that, okay? But that is not okay. I mean, I saw that before. It's weird, right? It's like, hey, Frank, and I didn't know. He's like, hey, so who's Frank? Is he your friend? He's like, no, that's my dad. Mind blown, right? You don't do that. You honor your mother and father, and then we don't exasperate our children. They're not slaves. They're gifts. They're objects, or not objects, but they're entities of stewardship. We're called to train them and disciple them and raise them to be servants of God. Amen? So we have these truths. Without these truths, the world would be amok, and the darkness will continue to grow. You know, I drove over here in Apple Valley. You know, this is my third time driving here. And every single time I drive through the city, I notice two things. Lots of dust, okay? So I was like, hence the car washes. There are so many car washes here, right? But lots of dust and homeless people. But it's a distinct type of homeless people. It is a homeless type of person who are at the street corner. And I can tell it's because of an addiction. I could just tell that right away. You know, there are situations where life circumstance is bad, and that's why you're, you know, homeless, or maybe you're transient because you just, you know, got out of prison, or, you know, there's different types of homelessness. But this type of homelessness, right off the freeway, just seeing two people, one, you know, a female and a male, and then one with their dog, and then just at the gas stations and at the corner, and I see in their eyes darkness. And I see that they are in a season of darkness. Brothers and sisters in Christ, what could their hope be? What is their only hope? It's Jesus. right? It reminds me exactly of when Peter and John are walking through the streets and there's a homeless guy, a beggar, sitting in the corner and he's like, can you help me? And what does Peter say? Bro, I don't have any money. Okay, that's my NLT version. That's the Apple Valley version. Bro, I ain't got it, right? He says, silver and gold, I have none, right? That means, bro, I ain't got it, right? But what I do have, I give to you, right? So what does he have? Jesus. He's got the word of God. He's got the light of the world. He says, I can give you something better than gold. And he said, this is what I give to you. And then he says, rise up and walk. And he walks. Because only Jesus, the source of light, can bring healing. Physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. Jesus can bring healing. It's not doctors, it's not science, and it's definitely not money, church. It is Jesus. So always remember, and I believe that God is telling us to remember, that the hope of Apple Valley is you, the church. It is you people sitting in these seats who have the words of God, who has the light of life. And God is calling us to go to those people and saying, God loves you, has a plan for your life. Getting those people into our church, into our churches, and showing them the way to the Father. That is our calling as the church. Amen? Amen. This is not light stuff. This is difficult. Because let's keep it real here. Lots of times when we encounter those people, I mean, I feel like this community is a lot less to do this, but I've seen churches where a homeless guy walks in and they lead him out the door, right? Like, that's the story of Gandhi. That's why Mahatma Gandhi is not a Christian. I was watching a documentary of this gentleman, and he was studying to be a lawyer, and you guys know who Gandhi is, right? Yeah. So he was studying to be a lawyer, and he was very upset at the injustice of the Indian caste system. The caste system. Younger folks, you know what a caste system is, right? It's a prejudiced system based on your color or your creed or your class. Like, you're born to certain parents and you're just like this. And if you're born into this demographic, you're like this. It's elitism. It's racism. It's this type of thing. And Gandhi hated it. And so he came to read the Bible, and he realized he had never read anything like this, because in Hinduism, everything is levels. Everything is a system of castes. And he said, the only way that India will ever change, the only way the caste system will ever be destroyed, is through the way of this man, this man God who preaches the gospel. Because in the gospel, there's no Scythian, there's no Jew, there's no Greek, there's no male, there's no female, there's no rich, there's no poor, there is just one. Amen? That's what it means to be a Christian. That's what it means to be a part of the kingdom of God. So he went to church. He went to church to be a part of this system. And guess what the usher told him? You need to go worship with your kind. Because he had darker skin. So he never came back to the church. And he said, if it's going to be like this, I might as well just stay a Hindu. We do this, church. And we must repent from this, church. We must, I know it's, and I'll be real with you. Because we are flesh and spirit, it'll kick up. You'll be like a little bit scared, right? You'll be a little bit intimidated. You'll be like, oh, I don't know. But if we give in to that dark thought, then the world will never change. Somebody has to continue to bear forth that light, let that light break through those dark thoughts and extend their hand of grace as Jesus extended his hand to us. Amen? Amen. Jesus is the light of the world. Let us remember how he saved us and go out and save others. Amen? The darkness will not overcome it, church. Don't worry. Honestly, I've never seen a homeless person rob another person trying to help him. I've never seen it. You know, seriously, when I think about them, it really breaks my heart. Because, yeah, they made mistakes, but you and I didn't make mistakes. We have a place to go. They just don't have that yet.
They're walking around with a Burger King cup all crushed up, walking to a McDonald's to get a free refill. Why? And people are like, oh my God, I can't believe he's evil. He's not evil. He just doesn't have it. And he has a conscience. So he feels bad going back to the same place. So he's going to another. He's just trying to survive. Well, can we help him survive, church? And not only survive, can we help him live, church? Can we help him get back on his feet? Can we help her understand that she's a daughter of God and that she might have been used and abused and broken in the past, but that Mary Magdalene is no longer a demon-possessed woman anymore, but she is a daughter of God, that she has hope with the light of God? Can we do this? Amen? That's what God commissions us to in Matthew 28. He says, go out into all the world. I don't care if it's this close as Judea, Samaria, or all the world. Go where God sends you. And you don't even have to look far, like, you know, go to work. Just go to work. Like in your cubicle, look to the left, look to the right, and you'll see like someone really mad having a bad day or 30 minutes in front of the coffee machine or like just all this other stuff. You'll see them. And you can break their darkness just by saying, hey, I just wanted to let you know God loves you. And they'll be like, okay, you're weird. But that's what it means to be a Christian. Get used to that. All right? We're not of this world. We're just in it. But we're weird. You don't think Jesus was weird? He was so weird. We're going to talk about John the Baptist soon in a few pages. John the Baptist is the weirdos of weirdos, right? It's like eating crickets, right? And there's a reason for that, because that was according to Jewish law. He was an Essene, right? So you're not allowed to eat things that are like manufactured or reproduced. So the only thing that you can eat that's organic was like stuff in the wilderness, and he's eating crickets. So it makes sense if you're in the zone, but if you don't get it, then yeah, of course it's weird. So if you don't get the gospel, if you don't live in the gospel, if you don't see people as Jesus sees people, then of course that's weird. So you and I need to make a choice. Live according to the world or live according to the word of God. Amen? The darkness will not overcome it, church. The darkness will never overcome us, church. We are the light. Amen? I mean, I love it. Sometimes people will talk about this in the paranormal sense. It's like, oh, demons and ghosts. And how many of you guys get freaked out about that stuff? I'm glad nobody raised a hand. Why? Okay, one person's like, I kind of do. Well, I mean, you can. People can be. That's honesty. That's good. But I'm telling you today, demons have nothing on Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. You can walk through and the demons are scared of you. Right? It's the fear that you have that might begin their enticement. But the boogeyman needs to boogie out in the name of Jesus. Amen? Like, you know, people who are afraid of the dark, how can it be dark in your room when you're shining like a flashlight? Your soul is bright when you know Jesus. Amen? So even that, like, the demons, they know Jesus. They all know Jesus, right? Like, one of the favorite stories is, you know, there's a demon-possessed daughter, a guy, and then the sons of Siva come, and they want to exercise him, but the demon's like, I know Apostle Paul, I know Jesus Christ, but who are you? So he doesn't, they know, the demons know who's really saved and who's not. The demons can see this light and not see the light, right? You have the light, all those who call upon the name of the Lord, all those who are saved by believing in Jesus Christ as God, you are the light. They're scared of you. You have the power in the name of Jesus to drive all of that away. Amen? Darkness shall not, will not, cannot overcome us because of our Lord Jesus. Amen? So that's what it means to be a lamp, right? Right? Let's continue on in this passage, verse 6. There was a man, and here's this example of who we are like. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. And so this John is John the Baptist. John the Apostle is writing about John the Baptist, and he says in verse 7, this man John, he came as a witness to testify concerning that light. He came to testify about the light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. John was not the light, but he came only as a witness to the light. You're going to see this word three times. When you see something in Scripture three times, it's important. It's like, witness, witness, witness. Verse 8, he himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. Verse 9, the true light that gives light to everyone who was coming into the world. So There was a man, it says, right? And his name was John, and he was sent from God to be what? A lamp, a witness. Because that's what a lamp does, right? It holds the light. It witnesses the light. Thy word, it is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. John was called to be a witness. What do witnesses do? What do witnesses do? If you're called, like there's court, you know, scene going on, and you're called as a witness to come up to the stand, what are you supposed to do? That's right. Speak the truth and nothing but the truth. So help you God. Amen. Right? You're supposed to speak what you saw and be a witness to the truth. You got to speak truth. And that's what John the Baptist was sent into the world to do, to speak the truth. And what is that truth? It's in verse 9. John was sent to speak about a true light. This true light was coming into the world, and it was to give light to the world, to everyone. So coming into the world, this is like a little bit where it gets a little technical in terms of Greek grammar. Because Greek grammar has, like, English has three tenses, right? It's like past, present, and future. And Greek has like imperfect and perfect and pluperfect. I mean, it's got a lot. So we don't need to get into that right now. You could do that possibly in your Bible study. But coming, this word coming, what John is trying to say is he was in the beginning. It's more like manifesting, right? So he was in the beginning. He was always coming. He is coming. He's here. It grabs like all the tenses together. It's active now. Jesus is here. That's kind of like what that translates better to. So the true light that gives light to everybody is here. It was coming. It's here. He is coming, Maranatha. And verse 10, Jesus was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not recognize him. He is telling this truth to you and I. Amen? Amen? Verse 10, he was in the world. Jesus was in the world. And the world was made through him, and the world did not recognize him. I kind of understand that. Because the Jews at this time was looking for a Messiah that would save them and deliver them from all their problems. So it's kind of like the Messiah that we will look for when we first become a Christian. The deliverer of all our problems and all our issues. A lot of people are like, I believe in Jesus now, so now will I not be in debt? Will my credit cards all be taken care of, right? Not true unless you work hard and follow the words of God to produce that fruit. But prosperity gospel is extremely damaging, and almost, I would say, it's just almost, okay, I'm not going to say it, but it's not the gospel. Prosperity gospel is a false gospel. Right? When you say, oh, you believe in Jesus, and then everything, you know, like, I some of the stuff that I see is just wild. It's like, if you give $300 today, the Lord will, you know, like, multiply it seven times, and then, and it's like, are you kidding me? Like, Jesus the bank account? Like, Jesus the bank? Like, this is not the gospel. Believing in Jesus doesn't mean that, why are you and I believing in Jesus? It's because it's the truth. That's why we believe in Jesus. He's not a genie, right? He's not a genie in the lamp. He's the light of the lamp that guides us through our darkness. It's not going to make us all of a sudden life gets better. That's not life. That's why. That's not reality. You know, all of a sudden we believe in Jesus and we think that all of a sudden just things get better. No, the truth is he gives us the ability to handle the peace to handle this brokenness. But it doesn't just all of a sudden become prosperity. Amen? You believe this, right? And that's why we believe in Jesus, because it's true. And how would we know if our love is true if he only gives us prosperity? It's like, yeah, it's like having a fake friend. Like, yeah, like prodigal son. Remember when he was like having all that money and doing well? Remember that? And remember what it said? That he had a lot of parties. You're going to have a lot of parties and a lot of people around you when you have a lot of stuff. But what about the times where you get locked up, right? Where you make a mistake, where you get kicked out of school, where you get accused of something? What about those moments? You're going to see a lot of people depart. Even the disciples departed when Jesus was like, oh, he's going to get crucified. Oh, he's not going to end in the result that we thought. And even Peter, right? Peter, the one that God would put as the first pastor of the church, he denies him three times like no other. Right? Amen? Amen. These are realities. This isn't a fairy tale. It's not like, oh, once upon a time and happily ever after. This isn't reality. This isn't scripture. Well, it kind of is, but not in the way that we're trying to make it like a Disney film. The happily ever after, that thing is only because of Jesus' victory. And once upon a time, it's not once upon a time, it's in the beginning. From cover to cover, from beginning to end, Alpha Omega, it's Jesus to Jesus. Amen? So we can understand that we can first feel like, oh, when I come to Jesus, you know, things should get better, or we want him to be a certain Messiah. But the truth is, Jesus is the Messiah of the world. He's the Messiah of our sins. He's the Savior. And yeah, he could be misunderstood. Like, he's born in a manger, right? Like a manger. And literally, like, so what is a manger? Right, it's what trough?
Feeding
trough, right? So it's for animal food, and also it's just kind of like it's dungy, right? There's a lot of bugs, and I mean, is that a place where you would imagine like a God to be born? But that's the reality of life. Like, that's my heart condition, right? Kind of like a feeding trough. Kind of like where the prodigal was eating when he lost everything. That's where the prodigal realized that he needed the grace to return to the Father. That's the place that Jesus was born, and that's where Jesus' light shone up in my life too, in the feeding trough, in the manger of my heart, in the manger of my life. Anybody relate to that? We are called to be witnesses and tell the truth of who Jesus is. And even if you do, it says here in verse 10, he's in the world and people won't recognize him. And this is what happened. Like, it's kind of like undercover CEO. Have you ever seen that? Like, undercover boss. I watched this. I just want to refresh my memory. So I was watching another episode of this yesterday. But this is the whole concept of undercover boss. Like, they create a company, right? And then they want to see what's really going on in their company. So they kind of like dress as an applicant. Or yesterday's episode, he was a founder of a hotel, so he showed up as a homeless man. And then his whole ethic was to take in people who just be kind to people, no matter what they were. You know, even if you're homeless, they had a program to give them a place. And then he walks in, he's the CEO of the company, and he walks in as a homeless man, and the lobby attendant, the concierge, obviously, you know, he's like, can't come in, kick out, but there's a sign on your door that says accepts everybody. And he's like, no. It's like that concept, like the worker did not recognize the owner and founder of the company. That's exactly what this verse is talking about. When God creates the world, God, who is Jesus, comes into the world, and you can see Jesus, right? You can see Jesus in the sense that when you love somebody, or you feed a prisoner, or the homeless, or the sojourner, or the orphan, that's Jesus. Like, remember that? It's like, you know, there are like these two groups of people, and one group was like, oh, you know, I tithed every Sunday, and I raised my hands during worship, and I did all these good things, right? And Jesus is like, I don't even know who you are. Isn't that scary? Yeah. That's so scary. Like, you could be doing all the right things and be super religious and being like a good person or whatever. And then Jesus, on the day of judgment, on the Bema seat, he looks at you and he goes, excuse me, who are you? That strikes so much fear. And then there was another group of people. He goes, hey, come inside. Welcome to the wedding banquet. Come on in. You fed me when I was in prison. You helped me when I was lost. You clothed me when I was homeless, gave me a roof. You adopted me when I was an orphan. And they're like, when did we do that, Jesus? Like, we don't remember seeing you. And Jesus goes, when you visited me in prison, when you visited the prisoner, when you adopted that orphan, when you fed that homeless person, you fed, took care of me. You saw Jesus. So when we see Jesus in the streets, when we see Jesus in the schools, we see these actions and these things happening, certain people don't recognize that. They go, man, you're stupid, right? Like, you should take care of yourself. You should save every dollar. That's what it means to not recognize Jesus. When you hear the gospel, God loves you, has a plan for you, and then you're hardening your heart, you're like, God doesn't love me. What's God done for me? Blah, 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 woo, woo, woo. Like, when you do that, that's denying Jesus, not recognizing who God is. Amen? May it not be so in our hearts, in our communities, in our world that we are a part of. Amen? So he came to his own, verse 11, to that which was his own, and his own did not receive him. And so the Lord asks us to be like John the Baptist, witnesses to this truth wherever you go, through word and through deed. And I'm preaching this to myself because I have a driving problem. I really do. Like, that's my thing. That's my struggle is road rage, okay? It's just like I hate being cut off. I hate seeing people do crazy things on the road. It's dangerous and endangers me. And I just, it's a trigger, church. I don't know what your trigger is, but I got a trigger. All right? And these days, thanks be to God, at least for a few years, thanks to my pastors and my elders and my mentors, I've been able to just carry my cross. My wife is looking at me. She's like, thanks be to my wife, you know? Because that's another thing. It's like, I used to be crazy on the road by myself, but then you have someone you love, and I realize when you finally find something you love more than your own anger, your own pride, that's the whole seeing Jesus and recognizing him and fixing our thoughts on him. That's what happens. So I'm a changed man. You should see me on the way to Apple Valley today. It was just cruise control, baby. It was just chilling, right? And you see these cars, you know, and but it's there. I can sense it. I want to do it. But I remember now, I'm a Christian. And even if nobody is watching me, I know my Father is with me. I'm not trying to present this like, you know, God's watching you and he's going to hit you with the cross when you mess up, because God is full of grace and mercy. But remember, we've also talked about this. We're his sons, so he wants to discipline us. He's watching us, but he wants us. He's watching us with a desire for us to become who he's called us to be. He knows we're light. He wants us to be in that light, to break through shadows and darkness. So that's why we have to be this witness to the world, a witness to ourselves. Amen? Amen. So verse 12 to 14. We're looking at this concept of light as life. So in the previous verses, it was life, the source of life as light. And now, how is this light the source of life? Verse 12, it says, yet to all who did receive him. So this is, you know, contradicting the previous verses of those who did not receive him. This is talking about those who did receive him. Verse 12, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name. Is this you? Do you receive him? Do you believe in his name? Well then, guess what? This is what the word of God says. He has given you the right to become children of God. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what you've done, church. Stop looking at the past. The Apostle Paul says, I have this one thing that I do every day. I don't look what's behind me. All right? Don't think about what you did yesterday. Or like that movie said, you don't need to remember what you did last summer. You know? Don't think about all that. Think about today, the daily bread of Jesus Christ, his gospel, and where he is moving you forward and upward. Amen? You don't need to think about the past. Why? Because he has given you today. If you believe in him, that he is the Son of God, that you are in need of salvation, that you are a sinner in need of salvation, then you are on your way to becoming a saint, because he has given you the right to become a child of God. Amen? Isn't this good news? Because I know I wouldn't have been able to earn this. I know I wouldn't have been able to work it. Today, he has given you the right to become children of God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. This being a child, right? This progeny, this offspring, verse 13, it's not born of natural descent, all right? It's not a physical DNA. This is not according to a race. This is not a birth according to human decision, right? It's not like, okay, let's have a baby. You know, are we ready? It has nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do with someone's will. Like, I'm going to do this. Or it has nothing to do with people. That's the point. It has nothing to do with anything that a person can provide. No one can certify and justify your birth in Christ except one thing. It is Christ himself. It is his spirit. You must be born again in the spirit. Amen? That's what that is talking about, verse 13. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but you have been given the right to be born of God. You're born of God. I used to forget this, But I remember this, especially this past year, every day. I'm a child of God. I'm a, not only, a, you know, because I'm like, I'm an ambassador of Christ. I'm an ambassador of Christ. If you forget that you're a child of God and focus on only the embassy of Christ, the ambassadorship, then you've got a lot of works going on in you, right? You're just got to be like, I got to be a good ambassador. I got to be a good rep. I got to do all these things. Don't forget the foundation, the cornerstone of salvation. We're children of God. We're children of the light. Before anything else, we are his babies. We are his sheep. We are his loved ones. Amen? Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, nor of a husband's will, but born of God. And verse 14, so this word that we're talking about in verse 1, the word became flesh. This reason, this gospel, this entity of God became a human, became flesh. And this flesh made his dwelling among us. It tabernacled with us. It's a very famous verse, two chapters later, John 3:16. What does it say? For God so loved the world. Say it with me. For he gave... Minister to me. Say it. For God so loved the world. God's Son. That whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. That's what this passage is talking about, right? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever... Doesn't matter your class, creed, color, pattern. It doesn't matter. If you believe in Jesus as the Son of God and Savior of the world, you will not perish. You will have everlasting life. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
This is good news. And this is the news that you and I have been given to give to the whole world. If you don't know someone, or if you know someone who doesn't know this, shouldn't you share it? Shouldn't we share this great news with them? Amen? And so, verse 14 is pre-iterating that. The Word became flesh, made his dwelling among us, tabernacled with us, and we have seen his glory. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. Have you seen his glory?
Yes.
I've seen his glory everywhere, especially in my own life. I mean, in so many ways. Let's talk about God's glory. When you go like hiking and you see creation, do you not see and sense God's glory? Even like in a hurricane or a tornado or in an earthquake. It's like every time I get an earthquake in California, I remember God's glory. Because we're like, oh no, we have first world problems, right? It's like, oh man, the internet went out, you know? Oh, my Wi-Fi, right? And you're like, I can't log on. And we're like upset. And it's like, ah. And then feel an earthquake where everything's just shattered and some falls apart, right? That's something that's beyond the Wi-Fi, can't connect, you know, department. You can feel God's glory. Something that you know that humans cannot stop. Earthquakes, hurricanes, you know, tornadoes, tsunamis. And those are all the, that's God's glory in just kind of like a deconstruction, reconstruction model. But how about God's glory in a delivery of a baby? Oh my gosh, babies. Beautiful, right? Like God's glory even in a puppy. So cute. It's like you see a puppy and you're like, oh, like life goes on in this world because of babies and puppies, right? Like we kind of recenter ourselves because of these type of goodnesses. The glory of God in forgiveness, right? It's like I read an article the other day of, you know, a man who lost his wife and child, his daughter, in a DUI car accident. And in that DUI car accident, I mean, he got sentenced, but this man who lost his family went and visited him in prison, forgave him and said, you know what? I love you, all right? You made a mistake. God loves me the same way. I was a car wreck. I was under the influence of of sin. I was a DUI in a different manner, and Jesus saved me. I love it. And then later I see a picture of them. I mean, he's crying and they're holding, you know, it wasn't fake. This wasn't like trying to be cool on internet for the gram. That was not what it was. It was because this is the glory of God. Forgiveness. This type of beauty. Like, you have seen it in your own life. Are you the same person that you were like a year, 10 years ago?
No.
Not at all, right? So I think about 10 years ago, Jonathan, and think about today, Jonathan. The glory of God was real. And we have seen the glory of God in our personal lives and in the world and in relationships. And we see that the glory of God is according to what? Verse 14b, the one and only Son. Only through Jesus, who came from the Father, filled with grace and truth. Praise be to Him who has given us this gospel. Amen. Let's not remember. Let's not forget this every single day. Sometimes, I mean, I'm the same. We are the same. Romans 3:23. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. You and I, brother. You and I, sister. We're exactly the same. Just because, even coming up here and being able to talk about this, is because of God's grace and God's glory. And I know that sometimes when we look in the mirror, we'll forget what we look like according to the book of James if we don't remember the gospel. So each and every single day, again, fix your eyes and thoughts on Jesus and see yourself as He sees you. Be faithful in the Word of God, in our piety, in our prayers, in praying without ceasing, being thankful in all circumstances, giving joy in all times, just always asking God so that we can follow His word by His grace, that we would be obedient, that we would be faithful. Let's do this every single day. And we do make mistakes. When you do make mistakes, confess it immediately. Repent. Say, I'm sorry, God. Help me to change. Mark 9, help my unbelief. And practice this each day. Practice this each day. And you will see amazing, the amazing God, the amazing glory of God. You'll see this in your life. I pray that this would be your truth as it is mine, as it is the truth of the world. Amen?
Amen.
Let us pray. I just want you to take 1 minute to just respond in prayer. Just whatever your heart, your spirit, your mind goes to in response to what you've heard. Jesus is Logos. Jesus is life. Jesus is light. Jesus is the light of the world, especially today. You know, if you feel dark or depressed, understand Jesus can set you free just by focusing on Him. If you know someone who needs Jesus' light, pray for him. Shine. Shine your light. Let's pray together. Let's pray for 1 minute. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for being the light of the world. Thank you, Father, for being the light of my life, the light of our lives. And you have given us this eternal flame that will never be put out by darkness. Help us to keep it burning with your oil, Let your spirit cause us to continue to worship you in spirit and in truth. Cause us truly to just lift our lamps before you as we wait for your return. And let this lamp burn. Let it shine the light of Jesus. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Wherever we go, whether it's Judea, Samaria, or to the ends of the earth, whether it's in our own hearts, whether it's in our own families, to our children, to our brothers and sisters, to our parents, in our workplace, on the streets, wherever it is in our community, oh Lord, let your light shine through our lives. Thank you so much, Father God, for your word. God, may you receive all the glory. May we walk out thinking only of Jesus' glory, the shine of Christ, and just help us remember how much you love us and the amazing plan that you have for us, even though sometimes it's difficult. Lord, I know nothing ever good, really good, never came without some difficulty. And so, Lord, help us to receive the grace of faithfulness throughout those difficulties. Help us to trust you, that you love us, that you have a plan for us, and that you are a God of goodness and glory. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And thank you, Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.